This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Today is also a very special Sunday. And we want to take a moment to pray. Some very special people that we all have. Okay, the mothers in the house. There's normally one or two at the back. I think one of them has disappeared now. Any case, but we want to pray for them in any case. Where's Ronaldo now? Okay, great. We got two at least that I know of. Let's see. Is there anybody else? We want to just bless the moms in the house with something very small. And then we're going to pray for you guys. You don't have to come forward. Well, you can. Okay. All right. Is there anybody else in the house that's a mom this evening? We want to bless you with a small gift. Okay, great. Wonderful. So let's take a moment to pray for the moms and just to honor God. Father, we thank you so much that each of us here have experienced your love and your grace, your great compassion. Have experienced sacrificial love, have been on the receiving end of the mother's love, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord, and we honor you. Yo, if those around just lay hands on the two at the back. We thank you, Lord, for the mums in the house, but also those that aren't here, Lord, and we commit them to your grace now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the difficult things that they have endured for our sakes. We thank you, Lord, for the tough things that no one sees, Lord. And we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would strengthen them with might by your Spirit in the inner man, Lord. That you would encourage them, Lord, where it matters most. That you would lift them up on wings like eagles, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that, yes, that you'd bless them with your peace, Lord. That they would be convinced and absolutely overwhelmed with your presence, God. Jesus' name. We thank you that the same power, the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead is in them and through them, Lord. And even when they can't see fruit, maybe sometimes in the short term, we thank you for grace for them to see good fruit of their labors, Father. Thank you that you say you reward that happens, what happens in secret, Lord. And we bless every mother that has blessed us, Lord. And we thank you that, you know, even those across the city, Lord, and across our nation, we bless them in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, that they would recognize your hand of grace, Lord. And they would recognize your hand of blessing, Lord, in Jesus' name. So we commit them to your grace, and we thank you, and we honor you, and we praise your name. And we say, let your name be glorified in and through our mothers, Lord. And bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much. If you've just woken up and you've forgotten that it's Mother's Day, I will excuse you if you have to quickly run outside and make right. We will excuse you for a few minutes. Anybody? Don't worry. It's a blessing to be able to share the word. We had quite an adventurous week and a half. We went here last weekend. Our family and the Lawrence family and Tinus went to Lesotho. That was really brilliant time we had there. Just spending time with the churches and the pastors and the ministers that we have a relationship with there. Really incredible, incredible men and women of God. Just really being faithful with what God has called them to do. And it was such a privilege to serve them in practical ways. We built a shed for the hammer mill that was bought with some funds that were donated a while ago. The hammer mill was meant to, you know, it's going to help them mill and make flour out of the grain that they produce locally. And that's going to be a massive blessing for the community. So we put up that shed, and it was great to help in a practical way. And on the Sunday, we ministered in two of the congregations. And yeah, what a blessing. It's a different kind of mission when the children are there. You know, it's a just different spin to the whole thing. And just amazing to just see things again in a different perspective. Lesotho is quite chilly this time of year. It gets colder, obviously, but the children decided it's still fine to swim. So they went swim in the icy mountain stream. We didn't do that. They were keen. Abigail was a bit concerned about the whole long drop situation. David was very interested. He was wanting to just put his torch down there and see what was going on. Emily wasn't fazed. She just took everything in her stride. She wasn't fazed at all. But we had a great time. What a blessing to be able to do that together as families. And then we took a special road across the mountains of Lesotho on the way back with a small sedan car. Drove over the middle of Lesotho. If you're ever considering to do that, just chat to me and Christoph beforehand. We might be able to give you some good advice. And if you want to know more about that, talk to me later. Awesome, that was a blessing. It's snowing up there now, so we were happy to dodge that one. Praise God. In any case, let's get this thing started. So we are busy with the One Tshwane series. We're busy praying with the city of Tshwane. And what a privilege to take hands with believers across the city, to minister into the same direction, to pray together as a body of Christ in our city. If you haven't been part of that, join in, check the app. Check even on the YouVersion app, there's a program there, the prayer points and everything. So make sure you're getting those. Make sure you're praying with us. And what a blessing just to be in unity as a body. Amen. Before I forget, I saw some newlyweds that have come back from honeymoon. And one of them's birthday today. So congrats, guys. John and you are. It's good to have you back. I don't always do that, but when I do spot them. Did you have a good time, guys? Good weather? Okay, cool. Awesome. Praise God. Okay. So Philip was ministering about connecting people to Christ, our role in that. And we've been one of the big overarching themes for the year up till now has been raising up disciple makers, raising up laborers. So that's what we're also continuing to look at. This evening, I want to look at a few specific points around that. If you did miss last week, like I did, I've already been able to catch up, and what a blessing. So I want to really encourage you to do listen to that message from Philip. It really blessed me. So do listen to that. But let's have a look at first scripture here. It's a pity it's a bit dark there, but that's an image of the earth. If you go one back, go one left. It's a bit too much light in here. But in any case, there's an earth with the sun rising around it. All right. Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. And that's part of the image I had praying through this and preparing, is that there's a dynamic of God saying, guys, arise. Let the body of Christ in this city arise. Let us, as believers in this nation, arise. Let us take our place. Let us snap out of it. Let us get with the program. Let us see what God is doing. For he wants to let his glory arise over the in the midst of a great darkness. So I wanted to start with the scripture of the promise that the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. Amen. And he's calling us to arise. He's calling us to wake up. And And I felt there's some of us that need to stand up. There's some of us that need to wake up a bit to what God is really, what His heart is all about. Some of us need to reposition ourselves. But there's a call. There's a call and there's a mandate. There's a call for us to respond to His call. Amen. Let's carry on. I'm just going to get to more detail now. And then verse 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul writes, he says, "We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That we have this treasure, the treasure of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the treasure of the good news, the treasure of the saving grace of Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And maybe you were at a moment like that last week in Philip's message, this kind of again reconnecting with the reality of the commission that we have received and the almost the urgency around it. And at the same time, the realization that, wow, this is a big one. And it's an urgent call. And the realization that I'm not really able. I can't do this on my own. I'm an earthen vessel. I'm broken. I'm cracked. There's flaws. There's problems. We don't carry this treasure in perfect vessels. Maybe I just wanted to throw this in here at the beginning, and because maybe we had that, you had kind of a moment last week realizing, wow, Lord, I need your grace if I'm going to be that connection point to Jesus, if I'm going to be a witness for Christ. Lord, I cannot do this because of my own goodness or my own good works or my skill or having practiced it. Lord, I need your empowerment. And I need your grace. Amen. So we see that we have this treasure in a fallible vessel, in a vessel that may be cracked and a little bit broken and imperfect and holes in it maybe. But the whole point of it is that Christ is revealed and His glory is revealed. And that the excellence of the power would not point to us, but would point to Him. Amen. Are you with me? So we see that right from the start. And then I want us to go to specific place here in Ephesians, and we actually read this a couple of weeks ago when we were chatting about, you know, the confidence of the call that God has for us and all the other stuff that are, you know, keeping us busy and confusing us, and we read this one in Ephesians, and I want to read it again, but then I want us to look at the context that He gives towards the end. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 from 11. "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ." We looked at that. We looked at the fact that the fivefold ministers, as we call them, are meant to equip the saints, all of us here, to do the work of ministry, to do His work. And it says, "This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of the God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." So He says, this equipping is going to continue and us doing ministry is going to continue until, as you know, as we grow in maturity, until we come to a place of unity and a place of maturing in the faith. And then let's continue in verse 14. "Then we will know," and this is some of what we read last time, "then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about with every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." This is the New Living Translation. And I wanted to just look what context he gives at the end, because he talks about the fivefold ministers. He talks about us as the saints being equipped to do ministry. He talks about us being involved in doing the work and maturing in it. He talks about the unity. And then he says, in the context here is that it's the whole body, that he makes the whole body fit together perfectly, each part doing its own special work, helping other parts grow. You see that beautiful picture there? So that the whole body is healthy and growing full of love. So we see right here, he puts it in the context of the whole body, each doing their bit, each doing their part, growing together, helping one another grow, and so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So that's the kind of vein we're going to look at a little bit more this evening. So hang in there. Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians. Now, Corinthians, we're going to look at a few scriptures from Corinthians. And I'm always challenged by Corinthians. It's also referred to the book of correction. Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian church. And it's clear that he's writing to people that he loves. You know, it's clear that he knows some of them personally. It's clear that he is invested in relationships there. And it's really precious for me to see how he addresses the guys, how he greets them, and then he expresses his love and his care and his concern. But then at some points where he gets really straight. He says, guys, this I've heard this and this and this. It's not on. He says, we can't do that. And he corrects, and he brings correction, he brings direction. He says, let's do it like this. This can't happen like this. This is how we do things. And really powerful to see that dynamic of love and concern enough so that he can bring correction. Amen. That really encourages me also. But let's look at what he does. He starts in the beginning of chapter 12, and he introduces the whole bit about the gift of the Spirit. Okay, and then he gives the context here in verse 12. He gives the context of where and how the gifts must operate in the context of the body. Let's look at verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. I've skipped some verses, so just hang with me. There's the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. If we were all the same. Strange and boring at the same time, right? Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can never say to the feet, I don't need you. Let's go on to 22. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require the special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all parts are glad. So this is introduces his whole context of this is the context of the where the gifts are going to be operating. The context of the body of Christ, family of believers, where there is a specific place for each member. Each one has a very specific part to play. And contributes to the health and the flourishing of the growing of the whole body. Okay? So this is the dynamic that we want to look at this evening. How does that work in the context of discipleship? Last week we looked at evangelism, but specifically this evening, in the process of discipling, what does it look like in the context of the family of Christ? And where's our part? What parts do we play? How do we fit into the picture? And I really believe God wants to stir something in us this evening to realize you know what, I am a part of this. I have a part to play in this process. Now, you may have heard that I have been privileged to coach the Biliki rugby team at David's school. This is the smallest guys, so the 4 and 5 year olds. Yes, that's why I'm getting a bit more grayer at the sides here. It's really chaotic, but it's a lot of fun. So pray for me Monday and Wednesday afternoon. But the thing with Biliki rugby is there's no tackling. We found that the first practice, I had to stop David from flattening the people because I said to him, listen, we practice this at home. But we use those tag things. You have to just, you know, take those strips of material that are Velcroed onto their trousers. You have to, you know, pull that off. Any case, so the thing with 4 and 5 year olds is they understand that they have to get the ball, so that's good. But they don't care about the lines or the direction. They just run. They run with that ball, and it's sometimes in little circles and patterns. And so if we can get them to run in the right direction, we've got to win. You know, that's a good start for us. And it's really funny to see how they do things and run all over the place. The problem with Biliki rugby is there are no positions. There's no, you know, it's just everybody does the same thing, and you go for it, and you try and get them to face in the right direction and not rip their own teammates and pass to the right person, you know, all that stuff. So that's tricky because there's no defined roles, okay? But I've seen now with Abigail, she's taken things a bit further. She's playing netball at the moment and enjoying it. But there now, it's a more structured game already, so they have positions. So the other day, she explained to me that she had to stand at the, is it called a goal? What is it called in English? Yes. And I was trying to figure out which one, because I know that one side you have to defend and the other side you have to obviously put the ball in. And I was trying to, couldn't figure it out. But in any case, so she explained to me that she can't go beyond a certain point on the field. She can only stay in that area that her position is allowed to play. Is that how it works? Huh? So that immediately gives the game a lot more structure and definition. And she was complaining because she says the ball never got to her part of the field. Now, I couldn't figure out whether that was a good thing or a bad thing. You know, whether, in other words, if she was defending, it would be good. If she wasn't, you know, in case. But immediately there's more structure. You know, she knows what her role is. She knows that she has a certain job. But if the other guys are not doing the job, that job could be frustrating. And, you know, I don't know, you may have experienced this in the context of a team sport, but there is something special when the team, each knowing their bit, each being proficient at their part, comes together in a common understanding of this is why we're here, and each one brings their bit to the table. There's a blessing there. Amen. Things go well. It just is a blessing. It is frustrating when you've got a prop standing on the wing and gets the ball, and you know it's just slow. some of the guys just think they've got the speed, but they don't. So it's frustrating when stuff like that happens, and the guys and you know us couch coaches that coach the Springboks from the living room, you know, we always know better. And it's frustrating for us when we feel guys are being played out of their position, right? We feel, why is that guy not being played in the place that he's really good at? So in the same way, in the body, in the context of the body, there's a place for everyone. And it doesn't help we compare ourselves to one another. But it is important for each of us to grow in our revelation of, you know what, this is where I fit in. This is where I am part of what God is doing. This is where I can grow. This is where I can practice. My dad had the story where he was starting to play rugby, and his dad passed away when he was really small, so he didn't have a clue. He got to the practice. The coach said to him, listen, Boyke, you're going to be the fullback. You have to stand. You're going to watch and take care of the posts. You know. And he was standing on the try line between the rugby, the poles, and he took care of the poles. The guys were scoring left and right, but nobody touched those poles. You know, he looked after them. So the coach realized, oh, no, let's just stick you into the scrum. And then he did really well there, actually. But if we grow in our understanding of what our bit is, what our part is, there's really a blessing in that. I remember years ago, I was not married. I was considering buying a car. At that point, it was just the best car, a Golf 4. It's now a very old car. But then it was amazing and it was really cool. And I remember thinking, okay, I have to really pray through this. I have to really hear God's voice. It's a big thing to buy a car. And I remember thinking, you know, I'm going to do this whole wisdom of many. I'm going to get the body involved, okay? So I picked my team very carefully. So I took with me, obviously, all spirit-filled believers, guys, brothers in Christ. We filled the car. Okay, now listen to my team. One guy worked in the lab that was developing VW engines, right? That was his job. He was also a spirit-filled and a believer, but that was his job. He knew that engine inside out. He knows exactly what goes wrong with that engine. So that's a good guy to have on your team, right? So I took him. I took another guy who had a transport business, okay? So he knew the business part, and he could negotiate, and he understood some stuff about wear and tear and looking for if this car has been through some accidents and stuff like that. So I took him. I took my friend Duval, who knows nothing about cars. Right? I said to him, brother, I'm taking you along because you know nothing about cars. You need to discern. I knew he could hear God's voice. I knew he was great discernment. So I said to him, I don't want you to look with your eyes. You need to be hearing God. You need to stay in the car. He wasn't allowed to look at the car. He was just praying. But it was so awesome because we went there. We were all in agreement. We're going to trust God to direct our steps. And the guys, we arrived there. Shame, it was a little bit older lady that was selling the car. I think she was a little bit overwhelmed with this team of very focused young guys arriving there. But I thought about this afternoon, and that's actually such a cool illustration of what I'm talking about, is that each one was following Christ, but each one had a specific strength that they were bringing to that mission that we were on. And I believe if we catch that around our dynamic of discipling believers in our church family, we can experience a blessing of God in that. Amen. I remember once or twice as a also before I got married there, you know, being invited to say a 21st birthday or something like that. And you know, some of them are quite fancy. You get a seat and a name tag and everything. And I remember once or twice being a little bit surprised that maybe I didn't know that person that well. And then you get there, and I remember one or two where the person would come to me and say, yes, Yaku, I put you next to my cousin at the table because they don't know God at all. They're like atheists completely. You must just go for it, you know. I was like, okay, cool, you know. And that happened more than once. But I was blessed with that because clearly they recognized that I was on. I was keen for that. And they said, listen, we've been praying for this guy, and we just want to, you're going to put right next to you, we're going to be praying, and you're going to just, you must just go for it. And I was like, on, you know, we're going to go for it. But surely, you know, maybe you've experienced the same. There's sometimes, say for instance, if I have a crisis or have a challenge or something comes across my path that needs immediate, urgent prayer, I've got a handful of people I know. I can SMS them, WhatsApp them right now. They know how to pray. It's their thing. Are you with me? I can trust them. I can know they're going to pray right now. And I know they praying the prayers that Scripture speaks, fervent, effective prayers. Amen? And I believe that there's a dynamic like that, that if you and I step into that thing of, you know what, this is where I fit into the picture of discipleship. I can be a part of this team. To be straight with you guys, there was a big chunk of my life as a believer as a young believer where I was not even on the field. I was being blessed by God. I was spirit-filled. I was baptized. I was growing in my faith. I wasn't even at practice. I was just enjoying checking out stuff from the side. But a little quite clueless, actually. But there had to be a massive shift in my heart when I realized, yo, that's where the heart of God is. It's on the field. It's in the harvest field. It's great. And I was blessed and I was experiencing the blessing of God. I was experiencing life with Him. But I realized I'm not even at practice. I'm not even on the field. I'm just spectating. And I started to wrestle with God. Lord, where do you want me to be in this team? Where do I fit in? You know, at the beginning, I was going through the Encounter series. We've got amazing tools that God has blessed us with. I mean, they're not that different to other churches' tools. They're just called different things. You know, the body of Christ all over, we use different ways and tools and structures to disciple people. But I believe those are great because they're from God and they're scriptural and we can utilize them to aid us in this process, right? So if I realize, listen, I may not be able to do the whole Encounter, life Encounter seminar with my colleague at work off my heart. Maybe I'm not there yet. But what I can do is I can tell him, listen, why don't you come with me on Saturday the 26th at Laerskool Pretoria Oos? We're having this awesome seminar. And I'm going to come with you and we're going to have a great time discussing some really life-challenging and changing questions. I can do that, right? You know, I always tell the story of that long bus trip that I went on from Cape Town to Joburg, and I knew it was going to be 18, 19 hours, so I prepared myself. I took a whole bunch of ministry material with me. I was still a student, and I took a Life Encounter booklets, you know, as you do. And I was sitting to this poor man next to me on the bus, and he didn't have a chance. Obviously, he couldn't go anywhere. That's what you call a captive audience. But you know, I tell that story, and people—I don't know—maybe think I'm strange. But the point of me saying it now is that that was my thing. That was where I was serving at that point in time. I was serving at Life Encounter, and I was presenting some of the sessions, and I was confident in that. Are you with me? So that was my part. That was my position on the field, and I was confident with that. So I said, "Let me take this that I know." And I'm going to, whoever sits next to me, they're going to be blessed with this bit that I have. Amen? So by the time we got to Worcester, he was saved. He was born again. And then we got to Laingsburg, he was filled with the Spirit. Amen? The baptism part was difficult. But but what I'm saying is that it sounds a bit weird. And so, but that, because that was my thing, because that was my part, that was where I was serving. That was where I was growing in maturity. That was what I was confident with. That was my part. Amen? So I want to ask this evening, do you know where you fit in? Do you have an understanding of a bit of your part? Or are you like me, maybe not even on the field yet? Let's go on. So we got this whole bunch of powerful tools that are available. We've got, you know, we've got the Encounter series that's happening. We've got small groups that are happening. We've got Bible school. We've got Sundays. The other day we took a bunch of guys to Rosemary Hill. Some have cycled, some ran, some just ate. But we had a great time, right? But what an amazing opportunity to bring somebody that you are praying for, something that you're reaching out to an environment where they can meet some of the family, where they can connect with Christ in different people. And it's whether it be a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whether it be a colleague or a friend, you know, that first time that they meet your family, I don't know, sometimes it's a little bit awkward, right? And especially when you're maybe a teenager and you're growing up a bit, sometimes you're a little bit embarrassed about your family. My family was one of those, you know, very creative family, lots of artists in the family. But I grew over that. And now it's a matter of, you know what, this is my family. Some of them are a bit odd. Some of them are a bit weird. Some of the sense of humor here and there is a bit different. But praise God, that all of them are a blessing. Amen. And sometimes it's similar with the church family. There's a place where you say, well, you know what, we've connected now, and maybe even there's a place where somebody connects with Christ through your testimony or through your ministry. Powerful place of you've been praying for somebody, you've been ministering to them, and they actually make a decision for Christ. And they think, yes, this is amazing. They see Christ in you. They see the fruit of the Spirit. They see what God is doing in your life. And sometimes what happens is they think, wow, this guy is amazing. I've never met somebody like that. I've had people say that to me, especially when you do street evangelism. I've never met anybody like you. And I said, but let me bring you to small group. You can meet lots of people like me. Amen? And then they realize, wow, this is not a once-off, weird, freakish guy. This is, all these guys have got one thing in common. They are following Jesus. And immediately the power, the excellence of the power is to Christ. And they can connect to Christ. They can see, wow, this is Christ in them. This is the hope of glory. So they see that dynamic happening there. So, where do you and I fit into this thing? Where is our place? What I'm not saying, okay, I'm not saying that we should completely outsource making disciples to programs and stuff like that and courses and seminars. What I'm saying is you and I need to take ownership in prayer, in putting our faith out for those people that God lays on our heart. Amen? Don't think, you know what, that guy, that colleague at work, I'm just going to send him a WhatsApp, or I'm just going to write an anonymous note on his desk inviting him to the life encounter, okay? That's what, if that works for you, praise God. But I'm saying, if God is laying something in your heart, or if you are the only, if you are the Christian and the believer in that context, then take ownership of that and trust God for that guy's salvation. Amen? Trust God to walk that road with him. What I am saying is that if you're not confident yet to walk, feel like you can't walk the whole road, then take him by the hand and say, listen, this is what I got. Come with me. I'm following Christ. Won't you join me? Amen? Don't you want to join me on this journey? I believe that if you and I want to truly call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ, I believe being a disciple cannot happen if we are not making a disciple. Does that make sense? I believe being a disciple includes me getting onto the field, saying, God, getting into the harvest field, getting onto the team, saying, Lord, I want to put my heart where your heart is. Even if I'm taking baby steps, I've been saved 3 weeks, maybe I only got a revelation of Christ 2 weeks ago, I've taken two steps, I'm already two steps ahead of somebody else. And I can take them by the hand and say, you know what, I don't know a lot, but I've experienced the saving grace of Christ. And I've got baptized. Won't you? This is what happened. Come with me. That I told you about that guy, and it was in my class at varsity. Actually, it was a guy in res with me. He told me the story. It was somebody in his class. So he he said there's this guy in his class that was saved. He came to a shofar service and he was radically changed, radically saved. and they were sitting in class, and this guy couldn't shut up. Okay, he was telling everybody, whether they wanted to listen or not, what happened to him. All right, he was going on about the Holy Spirit. He was going on about baptism. I mean, he'd been saved like 2 days, basically. And he wouldn't shut up, you know. And everybody was like, oh, okay, this guy's a bit odd. But in any case, and then my friend, who was in a different church, you know, they had a chat. He said to me, yes, Vessel, this is so awesome, man. Yeah, I'm also spiritful, and I'm also in a life-giving church. And, you know, they were chatted a bit. And then the guy that was newly saved, he was like, what? What do you mean? And he was completely shocked. He said, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I can really relate, you know, I've been through the whole thing. And he said, I understand. Have you been sitting in class with me for 3 years, and you never said a word to me? He was upset. He was proper angry with him. I don't think they spoke for a day or two. But it shocked me, it just challenged me, because he was day one and he couldn't shut up. He was just going for it. And he really challenged my friend, challenged me as well. And he was saying, but why have we been sitting in the same space and you've not said a word to me? I found that really challenging. But I believe God is putting that ball in our court. He's saying, arise, arise. I've put you in specific places. I've positioned you in a family. I've positioned you in a place of work or in a class or in a residence or in a commune or in a flat. I've put you where people need life, where people are in desperate need of Jesus. Are you on the field? Are you part of the body, of the family? Are you part of are we pursuing that common goal? And that's what's so beautiful about a team of people that all have different positions, all have different expertise, all have different skills and giftings, but one and the same goal. We know this is why we are on the field today. We know which way we're running, right? We know where the touch lines are, and we know where we're going. Commission is clear. Excuse me. There's a beauty there where we understand that we are in unity of purpose. We are in agreement about what God has called us to do. And we're giving in everything we got. Are you with me this evening? Amen. Okay, so let's have a look quickly at a great example in Acts chapter 8. From verse 4, we see a bit of persecution happening and the message of the gospel starting to spread. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed. Many were paralyzed and lame were healed. There was great joy in that city. Philip does his thing. Philip, the evangelist. He goes into Samaria. He does his thing. He knows this is his bit. And he goes for it. He preaches the gospel. Signs and wonders. God confirms his word. People respond to the word. And there's great joy in the city. All right? And then let's look to the next bit here, verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Now, Philip's already gone on. You know, he's doing his thing. He's carrying on. Peter and John, when they had come down, prayed for them that they may receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And we see this follow-up that's happening now. Okay, Philip has done his bit. The apostles are hearing, wow, there's stuff happening. Guys are experiencing Christ. They're receiving the word. They've been saved. They've been baptized. Let's take them to the next step. Let's continue this discipleship road with the guys. So they send Peter and John. And they do their bit. They take it one step further. Amen. And the city, okay, this is not an individual, this is a whole area basically. Samaria is receiving the word. So there's probably they had helpers with them. But we see this dynamic of body, each bringing their part. So we see this dynamic of the guys working together. Amen. Okay. Now, so, yeah, one of the things that I felt this evening is, are we responding to that? Are we responding to that urgency that God wants to lay on our hearts for those that He's put around us? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to stir our hearts for those that need Christ around us? And are we taking ownership of maybe a new person in your small group? I want to really encourage us guys there. We have small group facilitators. But that's also a team game. Amen. The small group facilitator can't do all the follow-ups. They can't disciple everybody in the small group. How about you take one of those younger guys or one of those that are new and say, why don't you come with me to the life encounter? Why don't you join me at Bible school? Let's just read through the book of, let's just read through the Gospels together. Let's walk this thing together. Amen. Where's that done? Are we taking hands and saying, where do I fit into this picture? What's my position and am I walking in that? So I believe we've got different skills and giftings, but I believe everybody can do small group. Amen. Everybody can do church. Everybody can do invitation. And I feel maybe this is a word for somebody specific here this evening, but are we persisting in that? I've heard so many testimonies, and specifically one where there was a guy that was at school with, I can't remember their names, I just heard this testimony, I think it was a video or an audio testimony. And he said there was this unassuming guy in his class in high school, and the guy that is testifying is a Muslim guy. And he said, this guy invited him to church every single week. Every week. And he refused them hundreds of times. They were in school a couple of years together, right? And he kept on. He just persistently invited him until he gave up and he just went and he got born again. But I'm saying, are we persistent in our prayers for those that are around us? Are we persistent in our invitation? Guys, I'm preaching it myself. And so often sometimes you get in that place where you're just pulling all you're psyching yourself up, going to invite this neighbor, and you go all out and you invite them, and it's like, scary, and are they going to spit at me, or are they going to swear at me, or whatever, and it's not as spectacular as that, they can't make it, and it's just such a letdown, or whatever, and then you like run away, and you never go there again. But why aren't we just persisting in that? Maybe another invitation, or another opportunity. Amen. A friend of mine was at school with me, we were in primary school together, and then we were in children's church together, basically. Sunday school together. We did all of that stuff. We were confirmed together in a very religious environment. And we lost a bit of contact in high school. We went to different schools, and we did a touch base now and again. But that the Lord continued to lay him on my heart, because I got born again in high school, at the end of primary school, and I was praying for him. Not every day, but now and again the Holy Spirit reminded me, and I would be praying for him. Because I knew we came from the same place, right? So, years down the line, God met him. And he was a place of desperation, and the Lord came into his life. Such a powerful way. And I remember all once we had a chat, and I said to him, why don't you go visit this shofar church here in Pretoria? Because they just planted the church. It was 2008, 2003, and I was still in the Cape. Why don't you just pop in there? Now, he was the first employee of Shofar Pretoria. And now he's a church, he's a pastor in Standerton. God is faithful, amen. And I'm not saying I prayed every day, but whenever the Holy Spirit reminded me, I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you to continue to pray for him, amen. Let's persist in that. Let's persist in our invitation. Let's persist in our prayers. And the order there is important, right? First the prayer, then the invitation. There's a good rule. I can't remember who said this, but first pray. First speak to God about a person before you speak to the person about God. Okay. Amen. All right, so I want to close with this bit in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And actually, the key verse I'm looking at is chapter 11, verse 1. But let's just look at the context from verse end of chapter 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. I too try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what is best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. I do what is best for others. I'm looking out for others. I'm trusting God for many to be saved. Can you see that? And then he says, and you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. And that is the dynamic what we're trusting for, is that I'm not connecting somebody with myself. I'm saying to them, listen, I'm on a journey here. I'm following Christ. Why don't you join me? You need to follow him as well. I'm imitating Christ, so I can be bold in saying somebody else can imitate me, but only in the way I am imitating Christ. Amen. Why don't you follow, some translations say follow, some say imitate. Imitate because I am imitating Christ. Connecting someone with Christ. How are we taking them by the hand and saying, let's walk this journey together? Let's stand this evening. We're going to spend some time praying. So this evening, I'm really trusting that God is going to stir something in our hearts around being part of the team, being part of the body, understanding where we fit in, but also just saying, Lord, I want to be on the field. And I don't want to spectate, I just want to eat, be fed and grow. I want to be on the field. I want to be in the harvest field. And when I was in that place and I realized that I'm selfish and I'm loving God and I'm experiencing His blessing and I'm experiencing so much grace, but that revelation that I realized I'm sitting on the side just transformed me. Because I realized that God is not here, He's there. I saw that I'm the heart of Christ is there and in the harvest. And yes, I was experiencing blessing, and yes, I was growing, and I was challenged, and I was doing stuff, but I saw if I want to walk with Him, I need to be there where He is. I need to be there where He is, on the cutting edge of the, whether it's pushing, where it's uncomfortable, where it's difficult, where it's messy, where it's things are hard. Growth means change, guys. Becoming like Jesus means change. It means it's difficult. Stuff has to die sometimes. pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your great love for each one here, for every soul, Lord. Thank you that you've demonstrated your love by giving your Son. Thank you that each one of us here can tell stories of when we have experienced your love, when we experience your love for the first time. Each one here can testify of people that were instrumental in praying for us, in persisting and inviting us. People that were instrumental in walking a road with us. People that were instrumental in saying, why don't you come with me to small group? God, freely we have received. Thank you this evening for grace and an urgency to freely give in the same way. Thank you, Lord, that you know every heart here, Lord. Thank you that you meet us where we're at. And I pray, Lord, even as I was that place of realizing that I'm not even on the field, I'm not even at practice. This evening, I thank you that you stir in our hearts an urgency, Lord, to say, Lord, I want to be with you in the harvest field. I want to be on the field, Lord. I want to find my position. I want to put in my faith, and I want to add my agreement to the cause of Christ and say, yes, God, we want to see your kingdom come. I want to not only be a disciple following Christ, I want to make disciples. I want to be a disciple that makes disciples, that make disciples, Lord. I want to connect with your heart in that place of urgency for the lost. Urgency to see your bride made ready. So in Jesus' name we pray, Lord, right now that you'd stir our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for a boldness, Lord, to acknowledge where we have been stagnant or we've been apathetic. Maybe we've just been a bit ignorant, like I was. But thank you for grace this evening, Lord, to respond to the call. As every eye's closed, if you're here this evening, and you feel the Holy Spirit is stirring something in your heart, I just feel that we need to just take a step to say, to respond to that stirring this evening. And maybe you've been on the field, maybe you've been involved, maybe you've been on mission and you've involved in small group. But this evening you're experiencing the Holy Spirit stirring an urgency in your heart for His kingdom, for the mandate of making disciples, the mandate of getting into the harvest field. And I just feel if that's you this evening and you want to respond to that, just to step out to the front here. Just as a sign to say, yes, Lord, I want to get onto the field. Maybe you've been hurt a bit. Maybe you've been out for a couple of seasons. And this evening you recognize, Lord, I'm going to need to get back in the game. If that's you, why don't you also just step out from where you are, just to come stand in the front. It's going to be a bold step, but I just feel it's going to be a blessing to say, God, yes, Lord, I want to be there. I want to be on the field. Thank you. Hallelujah. I'm just coming. Amen.
During worship, I sort of had a vision and a word, and I thought it was just for me, but it sort of ties in very close with what Yaku shared. God showed me a picture of like a nest with a diamond inside of it, and God was just saying to me that many of us don't realize how precious and how valuable the life is that He's put inside of us. That, you know, God gave us His Holy Spirit. He didn't just give us a mandate. He gave us a spirit to live inside of us. And God was just sort of encouraging me, personally to stop trying to do things for God and to start trying to do things through God. To allow the Holy Spirit to lead, to allow the Holy Spirit to work in my heart. And I really felt so strongly, even before the service, that we should pray for each other to like stir up the gifts, like Paul writes to Timothy and says that we should stir up, we should fan to flame the gift that God has given us, meaning the Holy Spirit, we should fan that to flame. And I really felt so strongly that some of us maybe find ourselves in that place where, you know, we've been trying so hard and we feel we can't do it anymore because we've failed so often. But it's because we've been trying to do things for God, not with God and through His strength. And I don't know, I just want to sort of encourage everyone that if you need prayer for that, even if it doesn't tie in exactly like I said, but if you need prayer to stir up the gifts that you know God has given you, or if you feel like God hasn't given you gifts, like He's given you a calling, but He hasn't given you the equipment to do that thing, if He hasn't given you the you feel like you're unequipped to do what God has called you to, I just want to encourage you to come and get prayer. Come and let somebody lay hands on you and prophesy over you. Prophesy gifts over you. Prophesy your calling over you. Help, like, let people speak into your life. Let people encourage you and fan that gift to a flame. Let people come and stir the Spirit inside of you. If you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, tonight's the night. I really believe that the Holy Spirit wants to pour Himself into our hearts so that we can live with Him, not trying to do things for Him and to impress Him one day, but to experience communion and life with Him today.
Amen. Thanks, Gareth. Amen. We're gonna lay hands on some guys and anoint guys in the front here. But before we do that, I just want us to pray briefly. But let's just close our eyes. Thank you, Lord, for saving grace that is in Christ, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that even before we get onto the field, Lord, thank you that we can say yes to you as the captain of our salvation, as the one who calls us from darkness into light, as the one who paid the highest price that we may be reconciled to God. This evening, as every eye is closed, if you are here this evening and you have not even, maybe you've been there before, maybe you've had some relationship with God before, maybe some connection with Him, but right now you know that you are far from God. I felt there's somebody specific here that you know about Jesus. You know, you've got head knowledge about who He is. You know, you've been around church a bit and you know what it's all about. But I felt God is saying that you are leaning on things that are not of God. And if you've got to be really honest with yourself right now, you're relying on stuff that is not of Him. And your roots and your trust is not in Him alone. And right now, He's calling you to Him. He's saying, my child, come to me. Come to me. He's the God of the second chance. He's the one that calls us from darkness into light. He's the one that meets us where we're at with His forgiveness and grace. He's the one that forgives us beyond what we imagine is possible. Even if you think, you know, Yaki, you don't know what I've been through, you don't know what I've done, I can guarantee you that the grace of God is sufficient for you. If that's you this evening, as every eye is closed, and you know right now, you need to make right with Him. You know right now the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, and you need to respond to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And you want to do that right now, as every eye is closed, won't you just raise your hand where you're standing and say, well, I want to respond to that invitation. Lord, I want to know you as Savior and King. I want to follow you. I want to hear your voice. I want to respond to your grace. Is there anybody like that? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I want to ask you to do something really bold. If that was you, I want just to pray for you specifically. So why don't you come to the front and come to my right-hand side, right on the far end here. I feel that there's something that God wants to just break over your life this evening, just to take you to that next place. Amen. It's going to take a bold step. But as we're praying for people in the front here, won't you just join? If that's you and you raise your hand, won't you come to this side? Thank you so much. Won't you come to this side, my right, your left? We're going to be praying with you. Amen. Thanks so much, guys. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you guys can write on the side here, can I have some facilitators to pray? Right on the side. Thanks so much. We're going to be praying for you guys as well. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray. pray for lots of people here. If there's some more facilitators out there, please come to this side first. We're going to start praying. We're going to spend some time ministering to people. We're going to anoint some people. We're just going to trust the Holy Spirit to impart. Amen. Thanks so much for your patience this evening. Thanks for being here. Please remain in the presence of God as long as you want. We're going to be ministering in the front. If you need any other prayer, if you need prayer for healing or prayer for provision or whatever the need is, God has made a way. Amen. So please join us in the front. We'd love to pray with you. Otherwise, join us for some refreshments. So we're going to just worship a bit and pray for some people. Thanks so much. And can I have some facilitators on my right, please? Thanks so much. God bless.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.